Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Reading the last of the gospel lesson today, such happy thoughts on this Advent season, right? Unquenchable fire, burning chaff, winnowing forks. These are among the things that John the Baptist talked about when he was preaching repentance and baptizing people in today's gospel lesson. John came speaking and baptizing in preparation for Jesus' coming. Now, true, Jesus was already among them, and some of them knew him. But John is preparing the way for Jesus' earthly ministry. John is using language to stir up people and to get their attention. And all that is so that he can point people to Christ. John's job was to tell everyone to prepare. Prepare for the coming of Messiah, God's Holy One. Yes, people had heard this before many times, but every time they had been disappointed. But this time was different because this time it was because God said it was time. It makes a difference when you prepare for the right thing in the right time and when you don't. There was this couple, Bob and Lynn, who were moved by their pastor's message, yay, one Sunday morning, to show Christian love to your neighbors. So they got home from church, they saw a moving van across the street, decided to display the Christian love that they were now excited about again. Lynn prepared some homemade bread, and together she and Bob went across the street. Can you figure out where this is going? When someone answered the front door, Lynn said, "Hi, we wanted to welcome you to our neighborhood. Here's some bread for you." The woman who answered the door said, "Thank you very much for your kindness, but this is somewhat embarrassing because we've lived here for 8 years. You see, we're not moving in, we're moving out." Bob and Lynn went to the door prepared, all right, but they prepared for the wrong occasion. That's the difference in today's gospel lesson and what John the Baptist was all about. He was preparing people for the right thing at the right time. Jesus was the true Messiah of God, the Lamb of God, who had come into the world to take away the sin of the world. Bob and Lynn's hearts were in the right place, but they simply weren't prepared for the proper occasion. Now, in the gospel lesson, we read about large crowds coming to John, confessing their sins and being baptized. They were preparing based on the truth that John was preaching to them. And what John preached was one word, repentance. Repentance. That was the proper way to prepare for the coming of the Christ. And most of those who came to the desert to see John followed what he said. Now, most, but not all. It says that there were those of the Pharisees and the Sadducees among John's congregation that day. When John saw them, he talked of them as a brood of vipers. Like in the Old Testament lesson, the children will stick their hand in the vipers and not be sinned or not be hurt. This is not that brood of vipers. He talked about the brood of vipers who had come to flee the wrath to come. Now, I want you to listen to Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve were deceived in the garden. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals." And then you skip down to the verses 14 and 15. "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.'" Now, right here in Genesis, you see the snake, the serpent, the viper that deceived Adam and Eve. I don't think that John chose that viper metaphor out of thin air when he was speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, this would have been something that most of the people there, and especially the Pharisees and the Sadducees, would have picked up on. They would have known. That's what they would have known about, that John was preparing the people for the coming. He was preparing the people for the coming of the one who was promised in that passage of Genesis. Jesus, the coming one, was that one promised from the day of the fall of man into sin, who would crush the snake's head and defeat sin. That promised wrath was coming, John said. Sin was about to be destroyed. And it was time to prepare for that. The man promised by God in Genesis 3 that would crush the snake's head, that would kill the viper that deceived Adam and Eve, that promised deliverer was at hand. And with him was the coming vengeance against sin. Preparing for that meant the same thing then as it does now. Yes, we are in Advent and preparing for the coming of Christ as the infant. But be reminded also that we prepare for Christ's return as the victor, the one, the conqueror over sin, the judge of all mankind. We need to also prepare for that right thing. Let's not be lulled into a sense of self-satisfaction or pride as the Pharisees and the Sadducees displayed with John. Take note that John equated his baptism with fleeing from the coming wrath of God. Baptism was presented as a form of salvation, of protection, and reconciliation with God. It still is. The wrath of God has come, as John said it would, and it was visited in all of its terrible consequences on the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. God's wrath against sin was poured out on the head of the innocent babe born to Mary in Bethlehem. That was done for us. It was done in our place. And it was done in order that we might indeed have his protection from that wrath against sin. It is only in his name, only in his name, that we have his protection against God's holy justice. And that is why baptism is done in his name. Now, with this idea of sin, I want to compare sin for a moment to another creature, not the viper, but another creature in this world. This is the giant water bug. Now, the giant water bug is a beetle that eats insects, tadpoles, even fish and frogs. Now, it has front legs, four legs, that grasp, and they're hooked. And they seize a victim and pull them in and hold them tight. The giant water bug then, with a vicious bite, injects its victims with enzymes that paralyze it. It only takes one bite. And the poison that shoots through this one puncture dissolves the victim's muscles and bones and organs, everything except the skin. The water bug then sucks out the victim's body that has been reduced to juice. Well, like this bug, our sins can paralyze our spirit. It too can destroy us from within, and it will sooner or later suck the life out of us. In order to prepare for the coming of the Lord, we do as John preached: repent of our sin, turn away from it, and be baptized. And when we are baptized in the name of the triune God, the kingdom of God comes to us. And that kingdom which comes to us in Jesus Christ alone, is what we need in order to be protected from the wrath that will come when Jesus returns the promised second time. He has come once to Bethlehem as promised, like the candle reminds us of today. He came to Bethlehem once as promised, and as John preached about in preparation for Jesus' ministry and work on earth. And Jesus will come again, and when he does, we are promised that it will be to judge the nations and all people. Now, folks today don't like that idea, but then again, they didn't like the idea then of the Messiah coming as a baby either. There's just no pleasing us, is there? And being prepared through repentance, that's also something that we'd like to skip. The grandmother who stands by the front room window watching for the arrival of her family for Christmas dinner is not going to be nearly as ready as the grandmother in the kitchen basting the turkey and preparing for the arrival of family and friends. John was calling people to be properly prepared for the coming of the Christ. And that meant to repent, to turn away from sin and all of its paralyzing ways. Now, the Pharisees were known for their paralyzing legalism and self-righteousness. The Sadducees were likewise known for their skepticism and their moral laxness, like those today who think that God's law means nothing. Neither of those groups came out to John to confess their sins. That is crystal clear from the context. No wonder John called them a brood of vipers. They were like those who had come before them, and like the snake in the garden, they were deadly to themselves and to others. Jesus came once to deliver us, as promised in Genesis. And Jesus is coming again. And he has delivered to us the righteousness we need, that no works set before us by the law, the Pharisees, or anyone else can accomplish. Only the free gift that Jesus came to give us, that properly prepares us. Only the robe of his righteousness does that. Dressed in God's gift of Christ's righteousness, we are to demonstrate a different kind of life than unbelievers. Now again, we don't do this to earn God's love or to impress others, but we do it to give witness to others of God's abundant and free grace and mercy and God's forgiveness for all people. Now, there is a story that is told in Spain of a father and his teenage son whose relationship had become strained, so the son ran away from home. His father, however, followed after him and journeyed in search of the rebellious boy. Finally, in Madrid, in a last desperate effort to find him, the father put an ad in the newspaper. The ad read like this: "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." The next day at noon, in front of the newspaper office, 800 Pacos showed up. They were all seeking forgiveness and love from their fathers. What a wonderful gift is forgiveness. All people crave this gift. And this gift is yours. Though you have strayed from the love of your heavenly Father, like Paco, still the Father seeks you out. He will not rest until you're safe in his arms. To make you ready for the day of judgment, you have been awakened and given a new suit of clothes. You've been dressed in the righteousness and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. You are ready. You are properly prepared. And you live in the grace of God that is given to you in your baptism. The grace of God gives us a free pass on sin. And it gives us the freedom to pass sin by. Now, that grace to us is indeed free and allows God to pass over our sin, to pass over the sin of the world. But that pass was not free to God. It cost him the life of his Son, Jesus, on the cross, which was the culmination of his earthly ministry that John was preparing people for this day. And Jesus' gift of freedom and forgiveness is now yours to give away to others. To others who, like you and I, need it, because we've all been bitten by sin. This day, and every day in Advent, is a wonderful day to celebrate the love of God freely given to us in Jesus. Advent prepares us to remember Jesus' first coming. And in so doing, we are being prepared for his promised second coming. In his first coming, he came to a specific place, again to Bethlehem. And that is what, again, the Advent candle reminds us of this week. It recalls for us that Jesus came in fulfillment of the promises that we spoke about last week. He came once and he will do so again. Jesus is the new Jerusalem that will come down from heaven and call us all home. And our preparation for that second coming, that's always ongoing. John called the people to what?
Repentance.
Repentance. Luther said that repentance is the way of life for all who would follow after Jesus Christ. So, our preparation for Jesus' return comes by following John's words today. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.